Okay, so this is the first in a new set of shiurim on Shalom Bayit. We're learning from the book of the Rav of Arush, Pagana Shalom, one of the most amazing and wonderful books that a person can have the privilege to have ever read. It's like nothing that exists in the secular world. Rav Arush's approach to Shalom Bayit, peace in the marriage, is not anything you'll find anywhere else. It's not based on secular wisdoms about sociology, about I have my job and you'll have your job, and the wife washes up and the guy goes to work. Instead, it's all about the roots, the soul, what Hashem wants. It's an amazing understanding of the real depth of what it means to be a man, what it means to be a woman, what our job is in the world. Bezrat Hashem, we'll go through it slowly, and Bezrat Hashem, we'll learn a little bit each time. So I think it's useful to start off with, before you even start the introduction, the Rav gives his own Azharva Havtachava Bracha. At the beginning of the book, the Rav writes what he calls his warning, his promise, and his bracha, his blessing. What does he say? He says as follows: Yeshno klal b'shalom bayit. There is a rule in shalom bayit, v'hu, and that's as follows: Shekol echad mibnei hazug yachshov shekol shalom habayit talui rakbo. The rule that Rav Arush wants to start his book off with, just before he actually gets into the book itself, the intro, says the rule you should know, that each person in the couple needs to think that the Shalom Bayit depends only on him. Ba'ach barach baba, only him and no one else. V'yomad heitev et hadracha hamatima lo, and that he will learn very well the rules and instructions that he needs. V'yikamem otam, and he will fulfill them. And he won't get involved at all in what the job is of the other person. Right? So what's he saying? Saying straight from the off that the main principle, before he even starts writing the book, says you should know that my main job is to worry about what my job is and to not worry about what my spouse's job is. I need to deal with my job and not tell my spouse that they're not doing their job properly. You didn't wash up today, you forgot to do this, you didn't look after the kids correctly, you're meant to be doing whatever you're meant to be doing. That's not how you have Shalom Bayit. The way to Shalom Bayit, Rav Arush tells us, is I look after my tasks, my responsibilities, and that's it. My spouse, they look after theirs, but only for their own responsibility. We don't look after each other's. Ba'in hu mamalet chobotav olo. Sha'arei mitoch kach hu yachshob kol hazman ala chesonot shel hasheni. Because if he does start looking at his spouse and looking at what his spouse is doing or what his spouse is not doing, all he's going to see are lackings and failings. She didn't wash up, she left the dishes in the sink, she left clothes on the floor, she didn't buy my favorite brand of shampoo this week. Whatever it is, I'm going to be looking for faults. And he's going to be full of claims against the other person. As soon as anything's going to be wrong, I've got a list in my mind that I'm ready to take out. And last week you never cleaned up after the cat, and this week you never took the kids to the playgroup. And I'm going to have a whole list of claims ready and waiting to fire off. Why? Because I'm looking at what the other person is doing or not doing, and I'm not worried about my job. I'm worried about their job than my job. It's not a good position to be in. And it's going to lead to fights and arguments about all the things that my spouse is not doing. Because for sure, I'm going to find the stuff. For sure, no one is perfect. for sure I'm not perfect either. And if I'm not perfect, then for sure my spouse is not perfect. And therefore, there's going to be stuff that they do every day that wasn't so good. It's going to happen. We're human. That's how he built us. We fall down. And if I'm looking out for it, oy vavoy, big, big mistake. Ba'ikar davar zeh yachalish oto ma'od. V'karov levadai sheyavi oto litvashel b'milui hachelek shelo b'shalom habayit. And not only that, Rav Arish tells us, not only will you start where you just be in fights and arguments all the time, but you'll actually stop doing your own job. Why? Because it will make me weak. If I see that my spouse is failing in her job, then I'm going to be very weak to do my job. I'm going to be like, well, what's the point? She's not pulling her weight. She's not doing her job. I can't be bothered. Right? Why is it me that always has to clean up? Why is it me that always has to do everything? And so I'm going to get very weak. And I'm actually going to stop fulfilling my obligations. Instead, I don't look at all on what my spouse is meant to do. I just focus on what I'm meant to be doing. And if I'm doing what I'm doing, everything's good. If I'm doing what I'm doing, and she is similarly going to be reading her book, which is Women's Wisdom, right? Focusing on her objectives, then everything's good. Midach im yitrachez ach barach b'hadracha shelo ubo chovot shelo v'ikrem hakol kera'uwi v'bli lachshov klal. If a person actually looks at what they're meant to be doing, their obligations, without looking at the other person at all, to see whether or not the other person has fulfilled their obligations or not. This will be a benefit to him, very much. If I just look at my job, and I don't look at the other person's job, it's going to benefit me very much. Why? Well, first of all, Rav Arish tells us, I'm going to have sheket nafshi. What's sheket nafshi? My nefesh, my neshama, my soul, is going to be shat quiet. I'm going to be at peace. Why? Because I'm not going to have all these claims in my heart against my spouse. If I'm just looking at what they're doing wrong, then I'm all, that's not fair, that's not right. I'm going to check it nafshi. Everything's good. It's really wonderful to love your spouse and to not have any claims in your heart against your spouse. It's not good. Right? We don't want that. Doesn't help us. So how do we do that? By not looking at their failings. I look at my job and I don't look at her job. And then I've got sheket nafshi. V'loyu lo machshavot ra'ot al hasheni, and I won't have any bad thoughts about my spouse. Baruch Hashem. Right? To be able to love our spouse is not something that comes automatically. Guys, I'm sorry. I'm gonna break it to you gently. Right? What happens is this. Hashem does a nes. I'm going to add in my parish, right, to the Rav as well. If the bits that are good in this year, they're the Rav, and the other stuff is me. Right, but what can I do? I'm giving this year, so I'm going to give it. What Hashem does is a nes. When you meet your Bashert, unfortunately he does this with other people who are not your Bashert, but Tom, when you meet your Bashert, Hashem creates this wonderful thing called falling in love. And everything is wonderful and rosy, and you can never see any fault in your spouse. In your spouse to be, right? They're beautiful. They're wonderful, and anything that they did wrong, you don't even notice it. It's just like, what, you did something I didn't even notice. Right? It's not even on the radar, and that's wonderful. But Hashem does that in order to get us under the chuppah and get us through the door, right? After that, it could be the next day. It could be the next year, it could be 10 years' time. At some point after that, there is a stage of reality dawning. If you're being cynical, a person might say waking up to the truth. And that's not being cynical, because the truth is, there is no love there. There's no, the false creation of this attachment, of desire, wanting to be together all the time and everything's wonderful. It's not true, it's not based on anything. I only met them last week. I know nothing about them. I don't know if we're compatible. I don't know if she's a nice person, she's not a nice person. She knows nothing about me, but yet we're like this. How did that happen? Because it's not real. It's my match, it's not real, it's all Divyanot. It's all up here. It's all a pretend fairy story in my head that everything really is wonderful. Which is fine, that's how Hashem created the world, in order to make sure we got together. But I have to know it's only up here. And when that wears away, and you have to get brown to brass tacks. Who are you? Who am I? Oh, you're a real person. You had a real life. You had 20 years, 30 years before you met me of life and experience and what you went through. And I did too. And you know what? I sometimes get grumpy and I sometimes get sad and I sometimes get a bit arrogant and I sometimes get lazy. And you know what? She does too. She has all those bad me dots too. And that's when we really have to work. And that's when we really have to work together as a team to work through my bad midot, her bad midot, and to get back to a true place of love. Right? Of love that's created by us, created between us, not given as a free gift. Hashem does that in all forms of life. And it's in the Torah, it's in the Tanakh. That we get the first time we get given as a free gift. What's it like? It's like the Ten Commandments. The first set of the Ten Commandments is a free gift from Hashem. And it's miraculous and it's perfect. That's the first set. But then that breaks. And then the second set were carved out by man, by Moshe Rabbeinu, who had to chisel them, or had to work it himself. But the second set are the set that stay. That's what lasts. And that's the real thing, because we achieved it. The same thing with everything in life. The first time that we do anything is a free gift. It's a free gift from Hashem. Hashem gives us the ability, doesn't matter what it is, the first day at work, the first date, the first shiur, the first time I give a class, the first time I do anything. And it went remarkably well. It's the first time I ever did it, and it was like I flew. How? Because it was a free gift from Hashem. Hashem gave me a free gift to show me what is possible. He then takes it away, and I need to do it myself. This appears everywhere in life. Even in the smallest sense of an idea. What is an idea? When I have an idea, whether it's a big idea or a little idea, let's take a big idea. I have a big idea about what I'm going to do with my life. When I have that big idea, what happens? I get a flash of light, I get an inspiration, and in a split second, I see everything. From start to finish, how it's gonna be, how it's gonna look, who I am, how the whole thing's gonna be. I see it in a split second, and then it disappears. And now I've gotta build that. Now I've gotta create it myself. I saw what the picture was, and now I have to create it. And the same is true in all forms of Avodat Hashem, all forms of life. And none so more true than Shalom Bayit. The beginning is the flash of light. The beginning is a gift from Hashem. Everything is perfect. It couldn't be more perfect. She can do no wrong. I can do no wrong. Everything is fantastic. We're on cloud nine. It's a gift from Hashem. And it doesn't last. No one. Because it's not real. But it is real. It's there to show me what can be. It's there to show me that in those dark times later on, where we're not seeing eye to eye, and we're not understanding each other, and I want this and she wants that, in those times, I'm going to remember back to how it was, how it can be. I have that picture in my mind. I have that understanding. Why? Because Hashem showed me. And so throughout the process of Shalom Bayit is what to do after you get married, right? When you're sitting there preparing your wedding list or preparing what you're going to eat, your 5-course meal for your guests and who's going to do the band, right? Everything's yoffy, right? You don't need a Shalom Bayit course then, because Hashem is giving it you all for free. Yoffy. Just keep running, keep going, get there, right? Who wants to get you there? All this comes in afterwards. So what's Rav Shalom saying here? Rav Shalom saying here is Don't focus on your spouse. Focus on yourself. If you focus on your spouse and you see what they're meant to be doing and what they're not doing, then I'm going to have a lot of claims in my heart. They're not doing it right. They're not doing what they should be doing. And I'm a human. When I see someone who's not doing what they're meant to be doing, I'm going to feel bad about them. I'm going to feel bad about my spouse because they're not doing what they're meant to be doing. And that's not helpful. It's not helpful. It's not where I want to be. But it's natural. So how do we avoid acting in a natural way? The natural way is that man and woman don't go together. Right? Man and women, man and wife are two different species. Baruch Hashem. They don't naturally fit. It's not like a chavruta. Your chavruta, you get on with. Why? We get on with, we argue, but we get on because we see eye to eye, we're coming from the same place. We've got the same understanding of the world. But a woman and a man don't have the same understanding of the world at all. They're mamash different. You have a different setup, a different neshama. She's got bina, and you have more that. It's a different connection. She intuitively understands what's going on, and I don't. I have to work it out myself. So that's the way Hashem created us. But it's not. This means that we're not the same. It means that if you came home, I read once a book that was put out by a Rosh Yeshiva to his Talmidim, to his Bachorim, on what you need to know when you got married. I read the first couple of pages. I was sitting somewhere and I was flicking through the book. I only read the first couple of pages. But what he said in the first couple of pages is, dear Bachorim, the first thing you should know is your wife is not your chavruta. Your wife is not your chavruta. He explained it in that first bit that I read. He said, don't come home to your wife and tell her what you learned today. She's going to look at you like you're crazy. She has no interest in the fact that an ox gores a donkey and a donkey gores an ox, and you have to pay the price of the carcass, right? And it's less like, she has no concept. She wants to know is, how does that affect me? What does it mean for me? How does it mean for my life? How does that help me bring up my children? How does that help me speak to my mother, right? And those questions are just not in our brain. What do you mean how you speak to your mother? And you speak to how you want. That is not it. We come completely different places. And Hashem brings us together to make a perfection. Perfection. Throughout the book, Bezrat Hashem, we're going to see how that works. But we should know that the starting place is that the wife is not a chavruta. We're not coming at the same place. In fact, the opposite. The Torah tells us that a wife is Eza Kenegdo. Eza Kenegdo. What's Eza Kenegdo mean? Means Eza means to help, La'azor, to help. Kenegdo means Neged. Neged is opposite, against you. She helps you by being Neged you, by being opposite you. That's your help. You have no clue why that's your help. You actually just want someone who's going to agree with you and do what you say, and you're free, that would be good. No. The wonderfulness of marriage and of having a wife is that the wife stops me acting like an idiot and actually turns me into being a man. Actually turns me into being a mensch. But only through putting into practice the ideas that Rav Shalom has said. Because without this, I can't even hear it. Without this, all I see are criticisms, complaints, arguments, challenges, difficulties. Mamash, not fun. Rav, you're going to say now that Shalom Bayit is something that's beyond Gan Eden. To have true Shalom Bayit is beyond Gan Eden. Why? Because my neshama is complete. I feel my neshama is complete. Right? When I step under the chuppah, Rav Arish says, you don't need to worry about who you're going to marry. You have no need to worry at all. Why? Because if you meet someone and you don't get married to them, it wasn't meant to be. And if you marry them and you step under the chuppah, as soon as you're under the chuppah, they're your bashert. Your soul becomes one with them. Under the chuppah, with the kiddushin, the nisuin, then your soul merges. You are now one. It is your soulmate. You can't argue after that. It is de facto your soulmate. So you don't have to worry about maybe she's the right one, maybe she's not the right one. Shtuyot, it's nonsense. Our forefathers and our mothers in the past never went through all this dating 50 times, 20 times, a year, 2 years, making not sure, right? If two people wanted to get together, they wanted to marry, they wanted to put in the effort, that was all that matters. Two people actually want to make an effort. Because at the end of the day, that's what's going to count. If two people want to make an effort, then it's going to work. And if two people don't want to make an effort, doesn't matter how compatible you might be in all four, you know, she plays tennis, I play tennis, she loves chess, I love chess. Doesn't matter what it says on paper, right? She grew up in the next street to me, she went to the same school, right? It doesn't matter how perfect we are for each other. If not, both parties aren't going to try, it's going to fail. And it doesn't matter how opposite we are. I'm from England and she's an Ethiopian, right? I'm Sephardi, he's Ashkenazi. How are we ever going to? It doesn't matter. If we actually two people that want to make it, it doesn't matter what our background. That's far more key, far more important. And what happens, that if we get it right, it's above, beyond Gan Eden. Why? Because my neshama is happy. It's like, this is it. This is perfection, right? Half of me is missing. Until I'm married, I'm not complete. I'm only half of me. And when I'm complete, then I'm complete. And that's the best state I can be in. But the converse is true. Not to have shalom bayit, Rav Arish tells us, in case people who haven't found out themselves, is Gehinnom. Mamash Gehinnom. To be in a place where a person is fighting with their spouse is Mamash Gehinnom. It's not the same as just fighting with another person. If I fight with my chavruta, tov, we had a fight. See you later. Even if he's a really good friend, fine. You go away, you cool off, I'll see you in 6 months' time, I'll see you in a year, we'll talk again. Or we won't talk again, it's not the end of the world. You do your thing, I'll do mine. But when I have a fight with my wife, Rasul Shalom, it's not the same thing. I mean, apart from the fact that the mechanics, I have to see her every day, I can't just say, see you next week, see you tomorrow. Right, I'm actually there. So apart from the fact that, practically speaking, it's not the same, right? And we actually have to speak to each other, see each other, deal with each other constantly, right? We live together. On a more fundamental basis, I'm torn apart. My inside is literally torn apart because my neshama is being torn apart. Instead of being that one neshama, I'm now torn. I feel like hell. I can't live that way. I can't live that way. It's like a part of me is being torn. Right? That's not to have shalom bayit. That's if chas v'shalom goes wrong. So the states in shalom bayit are the highest they can be. Gan Eden or Gehinnom. And there's no idea of having a middle road. Well, you know what? We'll just get on fine. We'll tick over. Everything will be okay. We'll just kind of plod along. No such thing. No such thing. Anyone who looks to you like they're just... if you look around, right? One of the biggest questions is, so people who don't read this book seem to be getting on okay to me. It's not true. It's not true. They're not getting on okay. They appear to you to be getting on okay, but they're really not. And it's coming out somewhere. Even if they're being nice to each other, it's coming out elsewhere. They mamash have no connection. You see it in the children. Yesterday, chas v'shalom, broke my heart to hear this, but I'll share it with you because I think it's relevant. Yesterday, one of my neighbors, who I know very well, very nice couple, I was walking past to my house, a couple of doors away from me. And I walk past and I hear as I'm walking past from the street, I hear the wife shouting at the children. I'm not just shouting, go clean your room, but like I'm actually really shouting. And the kids screaming, Ima no, Ima no. That is only because of the lack of shalom bayit. But mash, that is only that result, that the wife has to take it out on the children. She's taking it out on the children because she's got no shalom bayit. She can't speak to her husband. The husband can't hear it, not interested. And her frustrations with her life, she's taking it out on the kids. She loves the kids. They're her kids. I know the couple very well. She's a very nice woman. Mamash wouldn't do that. It's not her way. She's not like a witch. She's a firm, hush of a kosher woman. But she's extremely frustrated and she's destroying her kids as a result. As for shalom, that such a thing should happen. And it's only because of a lack of shalom bayit. When you have no shalom bayit, it's not just the husband and the wife. It's the whole house is torn apart. The whole house is torn apart. And particularly the kids are gonna get it in the neck. So there's nothing more important than shalom bayit. Boy. Okay. So Rav Shalom continues and says, "B'chol shekhen, and the more so, k'asher shnei bnei hazug yumadu ma'hem chobot." When the spouses both learn what it is that they need to do, their obligations, each one learns their own obligations. Sheyishtadlu l'kamayin k'rui, that they will try their best to fulfill them properly. As b'vaday yishur b'beitam shalom bayit nifla, then for sure they will have in their home shalom bayit. We should know that not only does it mean, what does shalom bayit mean? Not only does it mean that I don't suffer from all those terrible things of Gehinnom, but shalom bayit means shalom. Means shalom in the house. Not just an absence of war, but shalom. What's shalom? Shalom is the name of Hashem. It means Hashem himself, the Shekhinah, is resting in the home. The shalom bayit in the home, and we have shalom in the home. It means Hashem is resting in the home too with us. So not only does that give the couple a great love between them, which comes from this, which is what one would expect, shalom bayit. Two doves together, everyone's loving, everyone's happy together. But it means that there's a bracha in the home. Mamasha bracha in the home. The Shekhinah is in the home. The Shekhinah is there, nothing can go wrong. The Shekhinah in the home, then there's no sicknesses in the home, there's no, nothing gets broken, there's no bad things happen in the home, no burglaries, no break-ins, no shtuyot. Why? Because the Shekhinah's in there. Nothing is going to go wrong with the Shekhinah there, right? So to have the Shekhinah dwelling in our home is mamash, a Beit HaMikdash Ma'at, is what we're trying to create with a shalom bayit, right? The Shekhinah is dwelling, just like the Shekhinah dwelled in the Beit HaMikdash, the Shekhinah now dwells in the small Beit HaMikdash, which is the home of every Jew. Every Jew that can merit to build a holy home. But I should also warn you, I'm not really learning a lot of the book today, I should also warn you that this book is tough. It's tough for people who are not ready to give up themselves, to give up my ego, give up my arrogance, give up what I want. I had a friend who came for Shabbat dinner a couple of years ago, and I'd only just met him. We were a neighbor, getting to meet them, we invited them over. Anyway, we were talking, I tried to introduce Rav Shalom and the books at some point in the meal. It's always good. And he said, yeah, he's heard. He said, I read that Ganah Shalom. Right, he read this book. So I said, oh, great. How was it for you? Did you like it? He said, interesting, the first time I read it, I thought it was the worst book in the world. He told me, I got so angry with it. I ripped the pages out. I ripped it, each page by page. I thought, this is completely wrong. And I said, and I continued reading only to see what more shtuyot, what more nonsense this rabbi was going to try and tell me about how to be a Jewish husband. And he said, by the time I got to the end of the book, I realized how right he was in everything he said. And I went out and I bought a new copy and I went through and I started learning it mamash. Right? Because to start with, I couldn't take it, he said. To start with, it was too much. Right? The light was too much. It was too much truth. I couldn't handle the truth. So he ripped it up. He ripped it to shreds. Have we shown what time is it? Huh?
4 minutes.
Top. So, Bezrat Hashem, we will continue tomorrow. Thank you.